Well, let's, Charles, shall we?
Which is perfect, because I just finished this Rayman painting, as we all... Oh, I didn't finish it. Whatever, doesn't matter. Welcome, everybody, your weekly Trueplex The Cage with Charles. Now, remember, wrestling is not fake. It is scripted. It is a fight. It is a stage fight, sure, but it is a story about men and women being the holy hell of each other. Men and women chasing championships. Men and women chasing glory. Any ways, shapes, means, or form. And we are chasing glory, folks, because what was last... Sunday, or this Sunday just passed, the Royal Rumble. What do we know about the Royal Rumble? 30 men, 30 women enter, last person standing, over top rope eliminations, every 90 seconds, those people come out, starts with 1-2, last person standing, guaranteed title shot to WrestleMania, unless there's some screwy stuff coming in. We have a suspicion. Let's talk about that. What else was going on in the wrestling this weekend? New Japan, New Beginnings, title match, never openweight championship, Hiroshi Tanahashi, challenging Shingo Takagi, my dude. What else is going on? Not too much anywhere else right now at the moment, because we already knew Charles is going to spend a lot of time talking about this segment. We already knew about it. We already knew it was going to be the Royal Rumble, but let's get a little bit of that New Japan out of the way. I'll do my little briefs of AEW. I'll watch it this week. I really don't know what's going on. They have Beach Break going on this Wednesday on Dynamite. Main match that I know that's happening. They're going to do Jon Moxley, Pac, and Rey Fénix versus... Kenny Omega in the club, or the Bullet Club, whatever they want to call it, the iterations of the Good Brothers in there in a six-man tag team match going on. They're still doing that joint brand cross-reference. They might bring it up over into New Japan. Very relevant, because we mentioned Jon Moxley. Why? He showed up on New Japan Strong, which is the U.S. show that they have, and challenged, or not challenged necessarily, but beat up Kenta. Kenta has a briefcase for a guaranteed United States title shot, because New Japan has the U.S. championship there that he won months ago. Moxley, because of the virus and travel restrictions, has not been able to go and defend that title in New Japan. But instead of stripping off of him, they're going to be doing something else with it. They were just going to let him hold that title and delay it, even though they stripped him once already because he couldn't defend the title with staph infection. So they just gave it Lance Archer and all this other nonsense. But it's interesting because now we might be cross-branding with not two platforms, but three platforms. Impact Wrestling, New Japan, and AEW. Do we go bigger? Do we try to include MLW, Major League Wrestling? I haven't talked about them, but there's some good wrestlers on there, including Jacob Fatu, and I'm a big fan of Selena Arena. They also have L.A. Park and La Parca Jr. You know, those are some callbacks, right? On top of a few other people there. How far is this reach that they want to go for? I don't know. Let's see. But bringing it back to New Japan, they had the New Beginnings pay-per-view. They only had one main title shot, one singles title shot going on, because they're going to do other pay-per-view events, including Kota Ibushi versus Sanada for the IGWP and Intercontinental and Heavyweight Championship. I'm sick of the double belts, you guys. I hate it. I like titles having a defined line of placement, mid card, lower card, main event card, co-main event, tag titles. The double belt is not working, and I don't think you can reunify, or you can unify the Intercontinental title and the Heavyweight Championship, because there's so much prestige in both titles that you lose out on the Intercontinental title. But the Never Openweight Heavyweight Championship, I haven't watched it fully. I watched YouTube clips. I know it was banging between the ace, Hiroshi Tanahashi, known for his high-end finisher, the low-high flow, or high-fly flow. I can never say it correctly. Forgive me. I can barely say my own name. That's why Andrew likes to play the games of, hey, Charles, name this Russian hockey player. I'm like, I hate you. Why are you doing this to me? But Tanahashi, 46, still the face of New Japan, along with Kazuki Okada, on top of a few other people, going out there for the Never Openweight Championship. A little background about him. He is a several-time winner of the I can never say it right. Is it the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, the Intercontinental Championship, G1 Climax winner, just known for being Mr. Wrestle Kingdom alongside Kazuki Okada, never challenged for the Never Openweight title. Now, the Never Openweight title, if I had to bring into a WWE component of it, is even though New Japan has a U.S. Championship title, I would say that that's like the relevance of it. Not counting the WWE's U.S. title that has, which is currently on Bobby Lashley, who's dominating. And even though Moxley has the U.S. championship over in New Japan, it's just the level of prestige which you can do from it, because the last couple of challengers and last couple of champions have really kind of solidified it as a working title, a brutal title to defend. You had Shingo Takagi, who had it, and then before him was Minoru Suzuki, the king, my other boy, Mr. Scary Man, who beat the hell out of you just because he wants to. Love that kind of tenacity. Tomohiro Ishii, well, Shingo had it prior as well to Minoru, because Minoru beat him, and then Tomohiro Ishii had it, Hirooki Goto had it, just a long line of, like, brutal kind of guys. I mean, Tomohiro Ishii is the Stone Pitbull, man. We respect that. We love that. The guy's, like, 5'3". He'll beat the hell out of you. But Tanahashi never held that title. That title, I believe, came into existence 2009? Don't quote me on it. There's actually a... Never is an acronym. It's, like, New Era, Valiant, all the stuff that kind of comes up. Don't ask me to testify to it. I don't know, right? But it's definitely something that has built some great matches. And from what I saw in the highlights, it was a banger. Shingo Takagi and Hiroshi have this kind of chemistry that came into it, even their promos. And mind you, I don't speak Japanese, so when I watch the promos, I get that closed captioning on. But Hiroshi just goes to him. He's like, you've made me find passion in wrestling again. It's like, I love you. I have confessed my feelings to you. I want to have this match with you. And then Shingo and all his smirk is like, unfortunately, I don't feel the same way for you. And I'm like, this is hysterical. I love it. I like, they're just sitting in the ring. Like, six guys are just sitting there. It's great. The way they kind of did that back and forth. The match was good. It ends with him, Tanahashi, hitting the high fly flow onto Shingo. Little thing about Shingo, because I was on a tour last week, because I talked about him last week prepping up this match. I was watching a lot of his PWG stuff, his Noah stuff. The guy is just so cool. He's kind of known as like the last dragon, or the dragon. And so his whole finish is called the last of the dragon. It's so cool. It's like a Death Valley driver going into a leg drop. I'm just so about it. His whole attire just speaks like Japanese culture. He comes out with like a dragon.
No, Japanese love. The Japanese love self-filating their culture for sure.
Like, and listen, like, you know, unlike the like YouTube
Ghost of Tsushima was like their game of the year, basically.
You know? Hey, man, it was almost mine. And even though I won't go as far as that YouTube spammer was saying, pee on me, Shingo, you're a good man, dude. You're a good man. He lost. That title's now on Hirohoshi. Great Okarn is challenging for it now, because that's the thing about New Japan. You don't have really number one contender matches. You just kind of set up the new feud, get your butt beat by the next challenger post-match. It's kind of formulaic, whatever. There's more stuff coming in. Kota's eventually going to go get Sonata. I want to know what we're doing with Will Ospreay. I want to know what we're doing with Kazuchika Okada. What are we going to, are we going to continue that feud from Wrestle Kingdom? They're former Chaos stablemates. Now they're not much doing of anything. I think Kazuchika is probably going to look at Kota a little bit to give Kota the rub, lose to him and all that stuff. I know Will Ospreay was going against, and forgive me because I cannot pronounce names, Satoshi or something of that nature. I'm just so bad at it. And it doesn't help that the New Japan doesn't have all the time English commentators and broadcasters. So I'm like going hooked on Phonics, Japanese wrestler edition. I'm like, come on, man. I've watched like all 150 episodes of Dragon Ball Super, like subbed. Why can't I just say a name? What is this? But I digress. All in all, when the match becomes available, I will watch in full. I did like the highlights of it. Go Shingo Takagi. Good job, Tana. I don't think you needed the title, but at some point you have to complete the legacy. Bigger news, bigger stories. The Royal Rumble happened Sunday, you guys. I had a fun pleasure just to kind of watch it with my buddies in a group chat that we have, because we used to do that back in the day, but we have it. There's drinking rules that came into it. I regretted that the next day, but I was able to work and function as a human being. But then I realized I'm 31 years old. I thought it was a good pay-per-view. I don't really like to go into the whole Dave Meltzer mindset and giving like stars and ratings, but sometimes at a pay-per-view, I'll say it's a watch, don't watch it, just skip a few matches. I think it's something that you watch, you know, start to finish. It was a smaller card. I think it was like 3.5 hours long. They moved the Women's Tag Team Championship onto the pre-show. So it was Charlotte and Asuka defending their tag titles against the former champions, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. I'll say it right now. I don't care about the tag team women's division. Not because I'm against it. It's because Vince has not done anything with it in the almost 2 years of it being in existence to actually get some prominence. And the fact that it can't get any storyline on the Raw or SmackDown or even NXT, because that title has to be defended across all brands. It should be defended. Why? Because NXT is doing the Women's Dusty Classic. And the Dusty Classic is, it's basically a tag team tournament. Whoever wins gets a guaranteed title shot at whatever division tag team champions is there. So NXT has the men's version and the women's version, but there's the NXT men's tag team titles, but the women's tag team titles all around the main roster, but they don't do enough to cross-brand it. They should cross-brand it, because with the virus, you're not on the road traveling, so you can have people appear on the show. They tried a little bit, but it made it lose sight. But what happened in that match was Charlotte, Ric Flair is back. I love me some Ric Flair. I don't need Ric Flair in my pay-per-views anymore. I'm just saying it right now. They have him with Lacey Evans, who's now tormenting Charlotte. I guess they're trying to do this whole like, oh, you know, I'm with your daddy now kind of storyline, but not like fully. I don't know why Rick's trying to go against Charlotte, considering the fact that in the beginning of her career, he was just helping her all the time. But whatever. They want to do weird stuff without explanation. I don't care. I wasn't really invested in that match anyway. Everybody did their parts, but it led to Lacey screwing over Charlotte and Asuka, and Shayna and Nia won the titles back. Okay, fine. It affected on Monday a little bit because Asuka is the Women's Raw Championship. They tried to get a number one contenders match for the tag titles. So, you know, Asuka likes winning. Charlotte once again got distracted, left the match to go beat up Lacey, leaving Asuka herself. So we're getting an Asuka heel turn. I'm going to love it. It's going to be chef's kiss because I'm sick of Asuka being pushed down, you guys. You know I've been a proponent of her for so long. Give me what I want. Have her and Charlotte at WrestleMania, and they can beat the hell out of each other and have Asuka win. Get that definitive win because this title run has not done anything. But bigger things are happening, boys, because I hyped up a couple of matches. So Goldberg-McIntyre happened. Goldberg versus Drew McIntyre. It was like 6 minutes. Goldberg cannot go in the ring. He's a very sweaty man. He is sweaty like me seeing, you know, a new Taco Bell menu. I don't even think they gave him his entrance. The match didn't even really fully start. It started with like, it's great. So Goldberg tries to hit Drew. Drew does the spear on Goldberg. And then, and because we had bets on this, because I'm like, all right, Goldberg's a win. Let's just rip this Band-Aid off and get it done with. Because last time him and The Fiend fought at the one of the Saudi Arabia matches, pay-per-views, The Fiend lost, so I'm just ready to hate my life. They tried to make it, like, physical. Goldberg was coming in these weird shorts, kind of very Brock Lesnar-esque. It's not Goldberg's attire. We didn't even get to see the intro. I was kind of sad that he didn't concuss himself hitting a door, but Vince probably told him not to. Then he does that, wow. Man. And then he tried to jackhammer Drew. Drew's a big man. You can even see in that photo. Drew's humongous. He's like 6'5", 240, all muscle and man. His balls are probably heavier than anything Goldberg's ever lifted. And he had to try to lift that up into a jackhammer. And he couldn't complete it fully because Drew landed awkwardly. To me, it looked like he landed awkwardly because it was more like heel first. So they tried to make it like this whole tough physical thing. And then it was over. Drew hit him with like two claymores. And it was done, and then there was like a show of respect. Drop the title. And the problem is now we're going to have Drew and Sheamus, and I really don't want that to be the Mania match because I like Drew enough. I think he would be better as a heel champion. But you see the spear move stealing. That's all Goldberg could do. He didn't even do like two spears, I think, but he was already sweaty. He was already sweaty right here. He was sweaty like me at that Taco Bell menu the other day when I was getting that bacon wrapped chalupa. It was fantastic. But you're ruining Drew's credibility as a champion, because remind you, this is his second run as the WWE champion. He lost the title for like a minute to Randy. He gained it back. Yeah, that spear for the barricade was just to make it seem like Drew was dying. I don't like it. But how is it that you're going to tell me that Drew has a credible reign when he can go against a guy who could barely go in the ring for 6 minutes? It doesn't. And even though he's a legend in their eyes as a Hall of Famer, he can't go. It's not like a certain other Hall of Famer who showed up at the Royal Rumble. We're not going to get that yet. Let me get some title matches out of the way. I know you're all excited, Andrew. We're going to talk about it. It's going to be great. Women's Championship match defended Carmella versus Sasha Banks. It was fine. I think their prior match at TLC was better, but I think it was a good feud concluder. Good for Sasha. She retained. She's going to feud on. We're going to see what happens. WWE Universal Championship. Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens, part three. This is where Charles got a little bit too fun with the drink going on there, because me and my buddies, if you guys want to see what real drink games are, don't go to UCF. Come to Casa de Trujillo, and we'll show you what it is, because it was a last man standing match. You know what we did, boys? You had to drink for every count that comes in. And here's the standard about the last man standing matches. You know, they like to start with the whole 1, 2, 3. So for anybody who hasn't followed wrestling, so I can explain. You win if your opponent can't get up to their 2 feet by the count of 10. Plain and simple, right? You have to be up, they don't. So the whole process of like, you're seeing this referee going 1, 2, 3, counting. And they'll start that spot immediately. And you're like, oh God, my liver. And then there was a lot of like multiple, like 8 to 9 counts. I'm like, I'm going to die. I am not 22 anymore. Why am I doing this? But you get the vibe. You're enjoying yourself. It's great. The match itself was very good up until the end. But there were some crazy sequences that were coming in that my semi-sober self was like, what's this happening? Kevin Owens got ran over by a golf cart. So that was great. It would just kind of remind me of like that beep, beep, Momo, right here. Like it was, they went to like the backstage arena and Kevin Owens there, and it was a perfect capture because he just gets ran over by the golf cart. And like, what is this? I loved it because it's two men for the last 2 months who have history together trying to beat the holy hell out of each other. That's kind of how you do it. And there was And with these last man standing matches are a lot of matches themselves. There's always going to be spots. So you have that weird delay. So, okay, we'll let certain things pass. But there was a point where Owens had Roman kind of like down and he went on, he raised a forklift. And I thought he was going to put the forklift on Roman to win. I was like so excited. Because even though I know Roman was going to win, the best thing about wrestling is when you believe it. When you believe that the impossible is going to happen, and there was a part of me that thought that Owens was going to win, and I loved it. It was so good. So yeah, this is one of the spots that coming in, but it's not the one I'm talking about that I'm saying. But he's on top of the forklift, and he does like a swanton off the forklift, and it lands onto him. It was crazy. I was like, oh, this is great, because one, these are big men, so gravity is not as kind compared to my noodle self, if I was jumping off of it. Two, they're already kind of beat up because even though you're taking these spots and you can have all the padding in the world, it hurts. It could be dangerous. We saw what happened to Matt Hardy and Sammy Guevara, remember, where Matt clear cut got knocked the hell out. There was no point of return. They still continue that match. I'm still angry about that, Tony Khan. Still follow us on Twitter, FJOJR, Dan Frijoles, Charles the True, Sports Groups. Go do that fun stuff. The ending of the match ruined everything for this because they botched it. It was great. Owens had it where he had Reigns handcuffed at the very bottom of like this barricade, and Roman couldn't get on his 2 feet. And the ref's counting it to like a nine count, and it's about to happen. So what does Roman do? The best heel thing. He grabs the referee and he shoves the referee against like the metal and knocks the referee out to stop the count. And you're like, what a fantastic thing. Roman's a heel, he's an opportunist, he's afraid of Owens, he's about to lose. But they botched it. And the botch was Paul Heyman was supposed to help get the handcuffs off on the barricade. He couldn't get it off in time. So you have this weird like 20-second delay between the other ref coming up and then Kevin Owens just kind of standing there, like, what the hell's going on? Of course they cut away from Owens not looking, but it took a long time. And then the other ref comes out, and then Roman just grabs Owens in the guillotine and chokes him out, and that's it. And he doesn't make the 10 count. There was no Jey Uso. They said he has the virus or he has an injury. They haven't confirmed it. I think it looked good for Owens or for Roman to win, I guess, as clean as possible, even though you had to hurt the ref to not get to the 10 count. But hey, he's a heel. Guys are supposed to do those things. The match was great up until that screw up because these two are pros. They've been in this for a long time. Someone should call an audible. They should have had it where Owens tried to continue hitting Reigns and then have Reigns hit a low blow on him or something like that. Something to distract it to give it time or even have Heyman get involved. I don't know. So it kind of took away the essence. Their TLC match was better, but for what it was, I enjoyed it. It was just botch finishes happened. Royal Rumble time. Let's go with the women's because the women's was the best Royal Rumble match of the night. Bianca Belair won. That's how I'm just going to start it. She came in, I believe, at number three or four. She has some history, Bailey. Not a lot of like one person domination going on because last year I think her and Nia Jax, who both made their respective debuts, were eliminating like eight people. They had both said that they tied for the record. And mind you, the women's Royal Rumble has only been in existence for about 3, 4 years now. I think this is year three that they did it. So yeah, I could say Charlotte and then Asuka. Yeah, so this is year three. But they found the formula. It was good. They brought in some legends. Tori Wilson came back. Jillian Hall, who was around the time I wasn't watching wrestling, came in, but you know, I had to do some quick research. I knew who she was. It was interesting going from there. I liked it a lot. You know, Carmella came in, even though she had a title match, she came in and she was quickly eliminated. There were some storylines I wish they kind of continued feud-wise, like Lacey Evans. And this is the one thing I don't get about the Royal Rumble. You two are feuding for months, and they do this with everybody, men's and women's. You guys have been feuding for weeks, for days, for months, and you see each other in the Rumble match, but you only beat each other up for like 15 seconds. You go to the next person. I kind of want you like you are my sole target. I hate you so much. I need you eliminated because you getting a title shot at WrestleMania would sicken my soul. That kind of ferocity. And they didn't do that. It bothered me. They didn't do that with Charlotte Lacey. They didn't do that with a couple other men's ones. They don't do that for years. I'm like, keep your eye on the prize because that gives the believability. But this one was very good. It came down to Bianca and Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley was my prediction last week, who I said was gonna win. I was like feeling really good about it. I was like, oh man, I know wrestling. Vince should just hire me. And then they had like this tour de force back and forth where either woman could have eliminated each other. It led to Bianca Belair finally eliminating Rhea Ripley. I thought it was great the way they kind of did, even though no one really stood out as a dominator. You got to imagine Rhea came in at 14. Bianca came in at three. So she looks like the Iron Woman. Now she gets a guaranteed title shot. for one of the titles at WrestleMania. They haven't decided who that's going to be yet behind the scenes, but really, I think you should do Sasha. You should have it be Sasha. You can allow Sasha to have a heel turn because she's been a face for a bit, and then you can let Bianca put herself over by beating somebody who is regarded as one of the best women wrestlers of the current generation, coming from the original four horsewomen of Sasha, Becky, Bayley, and Charlotte, right? Whereas in Raw, I really kind of want to see where they go with Asuka turning heel, Asuka challenging or facing Charlotte, and them having a rematch from WrestleMania from a couple of years ago where Asuka's streak was broken to Charlotte. She couldn't beat her. Solidify that, let the heel turn come, let it go. Men's Royal Rumble. Oh, buddy. This was hard. I didn't know who the winner was going to be. Remember, my prediction was either it was going to be Keith Lee or Daniel Bryan. Keith Lee was not there. Why? The virus. So that might have been card subject to change. This was that first year. Kind of last year, you kind of knew Drew was going to win, but there could have been other people. This year was a wild card. I really didn't have an expectation. I did list who the dark horse was going to be. I was like, oh, I could see Edge winning it. Guess who won it? Edge, because that's a real Hall of Famer who can go and win it out, as opposed to Goldberg, who I joked was going to be entering. So here's the thing that I learned, the theme basically was for this Royal Rumble. Iron Man, Iron Woman, because Bianca Belair came in at number three, she won. Edge came in at number one, and he won, and he lasted. It started as him and Randy Orton. I wasn't crazy about that, because how dare you cheapen a rivalry, especially since this was Edge's return since having tricep surgery, and you're going to start off this sub-rivalry that Randy has, even though he's feuding with Bray, even though Bray's kind of dead, or The Fiend got burned alive, whatever. Wrestling's weird. It's soap opera. You guys know how it is with soap operas. People get shot in the head, come back with a new face. That's part of the game, baby. That's part of the game. But this one was enjoyable. It was by the books to a degree, but it still had the enjoyability. You had a couple of legends come out. You had the Hurricane. But you know what tugged at my heartstrings, gentlemen? Because even though Edge won the Royal Rumble, he had the biggest pop last year when he came back, right? Because he had been gone for 9 years. Well, guess who came back at number 24?
And
Edge's best friend.
Too.
You want to jump in on this? Jump in on it.
I can talk about this one because I was actually watching.
Because, like, Edge and Christian as a tag team, Andrew and I are a tag team. Because Christian came back from injuries, because the last time we saw him wrestle, he can't see him with the finger quotes coming, was when he was going against Randy Orton on Raw as revenge for Edge's defeat at Backlash. And then he was punted. Edge had suffered the neck injuries. Christian had suffered, I believe, a concussion. He wasn't allowed to come into protocol. And he was a little out of shape a couple months ago. But then at 24, you hear his music come on. I'm like, no! What? And he's in there and he's wrestling, and then him and Edge see each other, and Edge is looking like he's about to cry. Christian's like, yeah, bro, I'm back. I don't even know if they knew. I'm sure they did, but the moment became too real. And then they hugged, and then there's that little meme I sent you guys where the guy's texting, or the father texts his son's like, why the hell are you crying so loudly? I kind of felt that. Andrew, you've been on the whole Edge train for a full 12-month calendar. Let's get your opinion on what you saw of Edge and Christian. How you felt about Edge winning the Royal Rumble? We can talk a little bit.
I was excited then. I mean, I know wrestling, it's not fake, but it's an art. It's acting. But it was good to see that, you know. I still think it's not necessarily a great idea that he's still wrestling. Because how old is he? What, 45, I think?
Like 46, 47.
So, you know, he's still got a whole life ahead of him, and I hope he doesn't get too seriously injured. But it was good to see, you know, he came back, and, you know, he's getting the recognition he deserves. And, you know, he's, regardless of what happens at WrestleMania, you know, he's kind of going out on top. He was this, I think it was his third Royal Rumble win.
Second.
And he's one of just a select few that's gone bell to bell, as it were. So I'm glad that they're giving him some love right now. But I think the best part was seeing him reunite with Christian. I see the look in Edge's eyes. He's a very good actor. I've gleaned over the years. He's very emotive with his face, and he really is. He can sell emotion. He can sell the story really well, and I got that impression from him here. And that embrace, man, I got a little verklempt watching that. That was awesome to see, and it was nice that they were able to kind of team up a little bit, you know, get the tag team going back again.
Yeah, and what people need to understand, because you mentioned about why they would come back and the concerns they have, this is in their blood. They are genetically made for this. It's what they aspire to, because wrestling's a carny, right? When you're in the circus, you love being in the circus. Same thing I would say for players in a sport. They don't want to deal with life after not being part of the sport. That's why they might become coordinators and coaches. Same thing comes to wrestling. So they always want that opportunity, especially when injury deprives you of everything. What happened to Edge? He won the title at WrestleMania about 9 years ago, and then he had to relinquish it the next day because the broken neck caught up to him. Christian never even got his one more match. Guy had a concussion, had to end it. It was legitimate. Where they go from here, we don't know. I mean, I know Christian is on a part-time schedule. It's interesting to see what they do there. Maybe actually have a real feud with Randy once him and the Fiend are done in a couple months. I'm down for it. Why not? You had a stat TV anyway. But for Edge, the question is, who does he face? Is it going to be Drew McIntyre, the WWE Championship, or is it Roman Reigns, Universal Championship? All signs point to Roman. I think it's a better story to tell with Roman. They both have the same damn finishing move, which is the spear. You can make a little weird Master of the Spear gimmick, but I think you have a better story coming into it because Roman, his whole thing is being that mafioso boss as the head of the table, the tribal chief, and you have somebody who is a legend trying to reclaim his seat at the table, and you can have that inner frustration that brings in there. You can even bring Christian in for a little fun with it. Whereas with Drew, they had a little interaction last night because Edge came to Raw, but it was kind of like that breakup speech of like, dude, I'm just not into you. You'll know when I'm going to make that decision, which means he's obviously not going to wrestle him. And I don't imagine Edge is going to go on NXT and face Finn Balor, even though that could be a good match. It seems more they're setting their ways on Sheamus and Drew McIntyre to get to Mania, which is fine, but it's weird, but you need a believability in wrestling. And I have a harder time believing that Edge could beat Drew McIntyre than Roman Reigns. And I think part of that is because Drew right now, every defense he had has been successful with no cheating, and Roman has cheated his way to win multiple times against his own cousin, when it was him and Jey Uso going against each other, multiple times with Kevin Owens and whoever else the subsequent challenger is going to be. It's just part of it's a storytelling. And one of the things that I saw with the internet community, because we petty, right? You know, if you thought Heat fans were petty, you should read like wrestling fans' tweets. They're like, oh, you know, Vince can't make new stars. They're going to have him get this old guy get the title as opposed to the new guy. I don't care really who wins the Rumble to a degree as long as I get a main event worthy match. Edge was the right guy to get there because, yeah, I said Daniel Bryan was probably going to win. I don't think Daniel Bryan was the right guy, though. It's just you have to pick who your options are. Same thing with Keith Lee. What was my condition about Keith Lee? I've been saying for 2 weeks, I need a heel Keith Lee to do it. You know, that heel turn that has to come in, you have to set up properly. So Edge was it's a story that makes for himself. Guy comes back 9 years after not being in a wrestle. He had to relinquish a title. Granted, the World Heavyweight Championship is no longer in existence, but he's going to something again. He earned it. Iron Man, bell to bell, and he's going to walk out of WrestleMania as champion, and he's going against who better than the guy who views himself as the face of the company. It's part of the story, man. It's part of the drama. Drew, I don't think it will work, but so what do you want? You want Ricochet? I love Ricochet. He should always be on my television. The guy's been doing nothing. He's been on Main Event, which is like the dark show that's on Hulu, I believe. You want him to just miraculously win the Rumble? You got to build it up, right? Even though Edge was injured for the last couple months, what was his last match? Randy Orton. There you go. And Randy doesn't suffer from the loss of the Royal Rumble, and him and Edge wrestled last night. It was bad because the rust showed on Edge, but he's got 3 months to get into shape on that, or 2 months, really. But you have to pick that best story. And I got to tell you now, too, part of the reason why I want Edge and Roman is because I'm 90% certain Roman's going to win, because I'm kind of done with champions not retaining the titles at WrestleMania, because it makes it predictable that the person who wins the Royal Rumble is guaranteed to win the championship at Mania. It's felt like that the last couple of years. I think the only time there was a title retention for the main titles, we're not counting the mid-card titles or tag team titles or anything like that, was when Brock beat Roman at WrestleMania, bloodied, and then he lost to Roman at SummerSlam, because I think they just had to make SummerSlam sexy, right? But the last couple of years, it was Kofi beat Bryan, Becky beat Ronda and Charlotte to unify in the triple threat match. last year, Drew beat Brock. Goldberg lost to Braun Strowman, who was a last-minute replacement for Roman Reigns. You're a fighting champion. Let your main heavyweights retain the title. Drew can lose the belt because it's been 12 months, man. And every person he's challenged has not really come up to stuff of even being main event worthy. Truthfully, the WWE Championship has lowered itself in grandeur. But Roman's kind of on the up and up. So build the best stories. Because Ricochet, as great it would be to see him in the heavyweight picture for the main title, there isn't a story. So you can't just propel a random guy just because you like him if it doesn't fit and make sense. There's a better story here. So people can complain what they want. The new talent needs to happen. They called up Damian Priest. They're calling up Rhea. That's great. Hopefully Vince does something with him instead of screwing them up. Because if not, he's just going to associate Damian Priest with Bad Bunny. That's right. Bad Bunny showed up. And I got to tell you, I hate this. I hate to say this. But when he performed Booker T, because I guess there's a song Booker T onto it, and I can't get the damn song out of my head. And have you guys ever had a song in your head so you have to listen to it so it gets out of your head? I've heard Booker T by Bad Bunny 4 times. I don't like reggaeton. Charles doesn't like reggaeton. Not his cup of tea. You know, I like, you know, my kind of Spanish music, but I don't like reggaeton. It's not my thing. But damn it, I've had to listen to it, and it's not out yet. It's like a fever I just can't shake. Damn you, Bad Bunny. That's all I got for you this week in the cage.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it was something I saw in the tweets, yeah.
He was there, yeah. And he was there last night too on Raw. Yeah. And I swear to Christ, if we're gonna get Damian Priest teaming up with Bad Bunny versus Miz Morrison, I'm just gonna, because WrestleMania is also a spectacle. So that's when you allow those kind of entertainers to show up, because it's sports entertainment. Get stars in there, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Bad Bunny will do it for money. It's gonna get him a whole cross brand of people. He'll do it.
Yeah.
And Washington will get the man advantage. He used his stick as a weapon, and that's a no-no.
Pittsburgh penalty. Number 37, Kip Miller. 2 minutes for cross-checking.
Sent into the corner. Johansson gathers it in. Feeds it across.